kids ain't supposed to die before you do. Best way I can say it. So it's hard. Amen. Got another announcement to make. Wanted to announce that Seth and Lydia Rose are expecting a baby, and Nate and Lydia Hope are expecting a baby. So. So the church is fixing to grow again. As Brother Charlie Spencer, he says, we count everything that breathes. Amen. Glad to have Brother Jewel Forney here with us this morning from North Carolina. And he's passing through. He's on his way back home. And I was just so happy that he called me and said to come by. And so let's just sing that song we were singing again as Brother Jewel come. Amen. God bless you, brother. Amen.
In the to thank the Lord this morning. You may be seated. I don't know if my wife is going to sing for me or not. Maybe she'll do a song for me this morning. We'd like to thank the Lord for being in service. It's been a little while. Appreciate Brother Jerry and seeing him. And we got one thing in common. We both getting old. Praise God. So we thank the Lord that he gives us grace. And praise, it's good to see everyone here. This, and my wife, huh? So you get ready. You and what other one getting ready to have a baby? Oh, good. Praise God. That's all right. And that's all right. It's growing.
My boat of life under troubled sea, ever there's a wind to my sail. But I found a friend who watches over me when the breeze turned in to a gale. But I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm your storms and make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle in a hive. Among the peak, my soul can be found. And expect to win. Unexpected storms may drive me from the highs, it may bring me low, but it never bring me down. For I know the master of the wind. Yes, I know the maker of the rain. He can calm your storms and make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the high. Among the peaks, my soul can be found. Unexpected storms may drive me from the heights. It may bring me down, but it'll never bring me down. For I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm your storms and make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sing it with me. Yes, I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm your storms and make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. For he can calm your storms and make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind.
Amen. Thank the Lord this morning. I know the master of the wind. Not of the wind only, but the sunshine, the rain. He got it all in control. Praise God. This morning I have you stand one more time for reading of the word. Appreciate my wife being with us, traveling with us this weekend. It's like I said, it's good to see Brother Phil too, man. Praise God. So we thank you. It's good to see everyone here this morning. If you got your Bibles this morning, I'm going to read from two places in the scripture. St. John 1, St. John 8. St. John, the first chapter this morning, I want to begin reading. I want to read two scripture verses, and one going to be St. John 14, and one going to be one verse will be the first chapter, and verse 14, and verse 17. And it reads like this, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of what? And truth. 17 verse. For the law was given by Moses, but what? Came by Jesus Christ. St. John 8. St. John 8 chapter. And I want to read starting at verse 30 to verse 32. And the Bible said, as he had spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my words, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, help me one more time to yield my body, my mind, my spirit, my soul to you, O God. Help me, O God, to surrender. Father, help the people to do the same, Lord, that we can all hear from heaven. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, this morning, I give you all my strength. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated one moment. Thank the Lord for the reading of the Word of God this morning. If I know my style in the South, I say they call me the helicopter preacher. So I got two girls up and down. So we trust God that when I told myself, I preach, I said, you know, sometimes I told myself, I type the pastors out of the helicopter, at the airplane. I said, because when they land, most of the time they say, I'm getting ready to close. And then he's still landing. You be thinking, man, when is he going to land this plane? But the helicopter don't need a runway to get going. It don't need a runway to stop. It just drop out of there. So it's, I told my preacher one place, I said, some of the pastors to become space shuttles. It would take them over an hour to get down. So, but by God's grace, you just happen to have a helicopter in here this morning. So we thank the Lord for his word this morning and thank God for everyone here. So I'm going to go back into the scripture this morning. And I like what Jesus says here in the first chapter here. He says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then I went over to the 8th chapter. Then it says here, Jesus, because we always hear people say, I notice a lot of times I talk to people, they'll say, brother, you should know the truth and the truth should set you free. And then when they'll quote the scripture, but and then you find people all over the, maybe like denominationalism, they'll quote the, well, you should know the truth and the truth should make you free. I said, that is not really what he's saying. He said, if you continue in my word, hallelujah. In other words, if you continue in my word, then you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. You got to stay in the word to be set free. And I had a title this morning I want to use. God power is released and revealed in truth. We want to talk about God power because, you know, a lot of times we talk about God power and then we say, what is God power? You ever thought about what is God power? Well, God power, he healed the sick. God power, he raised the dead. God power, he did it. But what is the very essence of God power? The very power that says God is truth. Hallelujah. Anyway, if you think about God, you must think about truth. Hallelujah. Because we find in him, there's no lie. In him, there's no fault at all. When they tried to find something in him that maybe an error, what did even the devil had to testify? I find no fault in him. Hallelujah. We don't, in other words, we get to look here. I say, but God power is truth. And when God releases himself, he only releases his power when truth is there. When somebody that got the ability to accept the truth of God, then God is able to release power. Hallelujah. In other words, you say, then we look at these things here because we realize here that, I look at some of these things here because we realize that everybody that got something from God or come in contact with God's power, they was always operating in the law or operating under the revelation of truth. When Joshua went on the other side, he said, oh, Joshua, what did the word tell Joshua? Every place that you put the sole of your feet, I will give to you. How to be very courageous. How to meditate day and night, not on what Moses did, but on what Moses preached. Hallelujah. Joshua was not looking at the failures of Moses and the weakness of Moses. He was looking at the word that Moses preached because Moses preached truth. And he stood on that, and God blessed Joshua. And at the end of the day, Joshua came down. God came down. Let me take this coat up. He ain't working fight with a cold. Praise God. So in other words, when Joshua crossed over on the other side here, Joshua was standing on the revelation of truth. And because Joshua was standing on the revelation of truth, God released power to Joshua. That Joshua, wherever you put the sole of your feet, as long as you continue on my word, I will give you the very gates of hell. Cannot come against you, Joshua. So it was the truth that God was there. It was because when they left, he said, as long as everybody stay in line with the word, you would never have to worry about one person dying or have to even carry a face or a kid. But when Achan left the word, and when Achan moved from the revelation of the truth and tried to do something on his own, what did he do? It caused innocent people to die. Joshua knew that God could not lie. If somebody died, hallelujah, he knew that God could not lie. He said, that must be sin in here somewhere. Hallelujah. And then what did he come back and he found out what the problem was. And we know the story about Achan. Hallelujah. That's where we come today. Hallelujah. We got to come back to the revelation of truth. Hallelujah. When God judges us for me and my house. He wouldn't go around asking, do you think we ought to do this? He said, for me and my house. It don't matter what my wife think about it. It don't matter what my children think about it. I'm going to take it. This is what I'm saying. As the leader of this house, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua stood on truth. Hallelujah. So we begin to realize here, and the power of God will release to Joshua because Joshua stayed with truth. You remember, even in the New Testament, Jesus released the power when men stayed with truth. The truth was revealed to them, and they accepted it, and they live by it. Hallelujah. So you realize, you remember, like in St. John 6:16, when Jesus said, who do man say that I am? You ever thought about that? You asked this question, who do man say that I am? Hallelujah. Then they begin to go here, and they taking it from the experience of what somebody else said. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we do it, we get rubber. Well, somebody said this, but the point of it is, it ain't what somebody else said, because to use somebody else, what they think about it is to use secondhand revelation. But what do you say it is? Hallelujah. God ain't going to send you. Hey, you ain't going to make it in the rapture because somebody else said it. You got to get your rapture revelation for yourself. And he says here, would a man say that I am? And they begin to say, well, some say that they are, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Hey, Jesus is holy. I can't use secondhand revelation. But who do you say that I am? How did Peter say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? Hallelujah. In other words, and when he said the word, Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood never revealed this to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, hallelujah, have put the divine revelation in your soul. Hallelujah, Peter, your body is not saved yet, but there's something in you that can be drawn to God. Hallelujah, Peter, I'm going to give you the key to my house. Not just a key, keys. And if you don't make it, Peter, I ain't going to be able to get in. He trusted Peter with the keys before Peter even had the Holy Ghost. He still had a bad attitude, still cussing and doing all kinds of things, but he had the right revelation. And that revelation, the truth that he had, who God was, it was so powerful that he said, Peter, he said, up on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail over it. Hey, they will come against you. It will fight you every day, Peter, but the gates of hell shall not be able to overcome this revelation here. Hallelujah. In other words, people, that's what God trying to get it back to, a revelation that the gates of hell cannot overcome. Hallelujah. Gave Peter the keys. Find here that Jesus always recognized truth is what he's concerned about. You know, we realize here when something is in a person, truth that's in a person, that's something that God put in a person that the devil can't take away. Hallelujah. In other words, here go a lady came to Jesus. In other words, here go a lady came to Jesus, had a need. Hallelujah. In other words, she was approaching him of who she heard he was. Hallelujah. She was approaching about what the Jews say he was. He heard them down there talking about that Son of David. Hallelujah. She said, well, that must be the way I come to Jesus. Hallelujah. But even Jesus could not drive her away because there was something in her that could come to God. In other words, she come to Jesus and she said, that Son of David. Jesus looked at her, wrong, not to you. Hey, well, I don't need you in here. You don't need to come to this church. Jesus tried to get rid of the woman. The disciple tried to get rid of the woman. Hallelujah. They said, Lord, get rid of her. She getting in our way. She went. Ain't no word. They were looking at her like Jesus was looking at her. She was nothing but a dog. She was nothing but an outcast. Hallelujah. Get rid of this woman. Hallelujah. But this woman was not going to let go. Hallelujah. This woman was not going to let go because there was something that God put in her. Hallelujah. That nobody could take out of her. Even Jesus himself could not stop that revelation of truth. Hallelujah. He tried to get away from him, woman. The bread is for the children and not you dogs. She had a right to get attitude.
It would have been this day, this time. It would have been one of them things. I'm not going back to that church. Brother Jerry called me a dog. And I'm not going to be called a dog by nobody unless he called me a big dog. You know how people do. But here she was. And when you call her a dog, you know, the day a dog become about a pretty good word, you know, in this new age. And especially, I mean, even my boys now, my guys I grew up with, when they see me, and they ain't seen me in years, they don't say, "What's up, Jewel?" They say, "What's up, dog?" I mean, you know, everybody like dogs now, so I guess dogs become pretty normal. I ain't got nothing against dogs, by the way. But, you know, I'm just showing you, know, but in that time when Jesus was calling somebody was a dog, was to put him down to the, because a dog was not accepted in no order of worship. Anywhere, it had no scripture bagging. Only thing we got for a dog, beware of dogs. You said, brother, but now, you know, but as a dog, he was just showing the nature, as a dog returned to his vomit, it was showing you the nature of this dog. But dog, we do know that in the natural, dog come close to man. Why? Because man was he should have had dominion over the beast from the start. Hallelujah. So he's able to get this dog to submit to it. So there's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus here, he was calling this woman a dog, calling her a low degree, and she had a right. She had a right to make a decision. I am not going to approach this man, and he's going to speak to me like this. But if you come for something, nobody can get talking out of it. Nobody can't preach it away. Hallelujah. I'm not coming to see the preacher. I'm coming to hear the word of God. Hallelujah. I'm coming to get what I come for this morning. I don't care what it takes. If he hurt my feelings, I'm not going to leave the church. If he hurt my feelings, I'm going to say, "Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." I'm coming to get what I come for this morning. And what did she say to him? She says, this word here is what got his attention. She says, "True, Lord." This is a simple word, true Lord. Hallelujah. In a word, you want to call me a dog, and I ain't nothing but a dog. Hallelujah. And I realize what I am, but I do also realize that when the master eat from the table, the crumbs fall, and the dogs come and lick it up. Hallelujah. Does not the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table? Hallelujah. When she said these words. Hallelujah, it moved Jesus on the scene. Your daughter's made whole. Hallelujah, people, that what God looking for. He's looking for a truth to be showing you. Hallelujah, even when the word comes forth, if it hurts your feeling, don't let it stop you from going all the way with God. I'm going to hold on to the word. Hallelujah, Lord, cut me any way you want to, but I'm not letting go of this word. Find here when Jesus met this lady and he released power. He released it because of truth. And the word he came to her and he says to her, you know, the story, give me a drink. And we all go through that at the woman at the well. But what got her attention and what got Jesus' attention, it was something in her that can respond to truth. And he asked her a simple question. Go get your husband. And she answered a simple question. I ain't got no husband. And he acknowledged, if you notice, he's acknowledging the statement she says. Yeah, well said. You have no husband. And the word, you are said the truth. You have no husband. And the one you got now is not your husband. What was he doing? She was recognizing the truth that was in her, and she was recognizing that he was the truth. See what she did? She recognized that she had truth, and he recognized, she would recognize that he was the truth. Lord, we know when the Spirit comes, when the Messiah comes, he'll do this. He'll do these things. And what did Jesus say? I am he. He let her recognize, I am the truth. I am the way. I'm the life. So to see, in other words, so we begin to look at these things here. As we begin to look here, we find here that I like when the St. John 6:44 says that no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. No man. You don't just bump into God. You don't make up one day. One day I'm going to go to church. I think I'll wait the next week to get saved. No, you don't do that. Hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. I feel like I got one more party I got to go to before I give my heart to God. No, you can't do that. You can't get saved that way. Hallelujah. In other words, it got to be something on the inside of you. Hey, no man come to the Father except the Spirit of God draws him. And I begin to think about that word, single word, draw. I begin to look at that word, draw. I say, why would it say draw? No man can come unto the Father except the Father that sent me draws him. And I begin to think about drawing, the power of drawing. And I begin to think about when you put money in the bank, you know, only reason you got the authority to draw money from a bank is you got something in there to draw out. If you're drawing out money that you don't got, you're committing a crime. Hallelujah, you are committing a crime. And then where sooner or later, you're going to get caught and there's going to be a penalty put on you because you are literally stealing from the bank. Hallelujah, to draw something that you ain't got, you become a thief and a robber. Hallelujah. But if you got money in the bank, you got drawing power. You can write a check and you know you're going to get it back. How you know you can draw the money out? And I say, how can you come to God except God put something in you that he can draw? That's why the prophet said, with two omnipotents meet. That's something that can be drawn back to God. Hell, power been put in you that God can draw back. That's why we come in this morning. It ain't just you come here because you just woke up and decided. It's because there's a power put in you that God pulling you to draw to hear the word of God. It's something about it. It gives me strength. When my flesh is weak, it gives me strength. When I feel like I cannot stand, it gives me strength. I'm not holding myself. It's holding me. Give me strength. Drawing power. Hallelujah. Truth, what we're talking about. And I begin to like what Jesus said. When you find Jesus speaking of himself, he always spoke of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, speaking of his own self, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said these words. That's coming a time that you won't worship in this mountain or in Jerusalem. But they that worship the Father will worship him as spirit and truth. Revelation said he was called faithful and truth. So we begin to realize here that Jesus declared himself as the spirit of truth. Because that's where his power lays. See, there is a realm of power. There's a realm of power that we can operate in. And not have truth, and God will honor this. And I'm talking about the realm of power. You know, a lot of times we find people say, well, Brother Jewel, I got power. I've seen God do this, and I've seen this great move of God in my life, and a great move of God in this heaven. That's good. But you can also have a law of truth, and God will operate on a law, because God got to honor his word. That's why you can take a sinner. He could be one of the biggest drunks in town, the biggest sinner in town. Do you realize if he paid tithes and pay his offerings, that God will bless his business? You say, well, that is no spirit to that because God must honor truth. If he got faith to believe it, God will honor it. So these rich people there, a lot of these men there, they don't go to church. They just write and pay tithe, and God honor their business. And you look at that, you say, why that man, he live like a devil, and God is blessing him. Now God is blessing his word because he's standing by the word. Yeah. By truth, but that ain't got nothing to do with his spiritual. No. Hallelujah, so we begin to look at him. And to think on these things here, while I'm saying it, and you see what we're building, I'm just kind of laying a little platform. See, because we got to understand when, you know, a lot of people think when Brother Brandon come to bring us truth. No, Brother Brandon didn't come to bring us truth. He come to restore back the truth that we had missed it. Hallelujah. In a word, the truth was there all the time, but it got because of the dark ages. And because of the fall of man, truth was put in a corner and we was overlooking this thing. But God said, it's time for the true light to come. How do we need light so we can find a way through this dark end? So you use this terminology. I'm going to use a message. I want to read a quote out of Anointed Ones at the end time. Because I believe I'm one of them preachers. I believe that you got to have the Bible and the message. I used to hear people say, if I had to have one, I get rid of the Bible and take the message. Now I heard another group say, I get rid of the message and take the Bible. You say, how you feel? I think both of them wrong. Hallelujah. In other words, because to shoot a gun, you got to have the back and the front sight. Hallelujah. To shoot to be on target, you have to have the back and the front tight. So in other words, the prophet of God typed it that way. If you notice, Brother Brady did never preach anything. Every time he always went back to the Bible. He said, if I say something that the Bible don't say, stay with the Bible. That way you people done got all mixed up today. They trying to take one quote and not taking it back with her. And then in other words, as Revelation progressed, Brother Brandon had to progress in Revelation. And in other words, because one day Brother Brandon taught the baptism of the Holy Ghost with love. Then later on, he come back as preacher, receiving the word for your day. How can you can have love and not receive the word? Anyway, that's all. That's a filial love, but that's one love for the word. If you love me, keep my commandments. That is a different realm of love. He's used the Anointed One at the end time. He says here. He says, notice the very day when this messenger, when he began to declare his message, then he goes into the poor. First poor, healing. You know, you said that was the truth. That was the truth. But that is not what he was coming to. He was coming to catch attention. Healing there to catch your attention. He said, first poor, healing. Second poor, prophecy. The third poor was the opening of the word. The mystery revealed. Now, long as it stayed in a mystery form, we didn't know what it was. Long as something has not been revealed, we don't know what it is. You know, we can say, you can look at this cup, and we can presume that water is in it. When you think that? Because that is the proper place to put water when you're preaching, is in this cup. And you could say, I could base my life on this cup, that it was water in it. What if you base your life on it and I had Kool-Aid in it? You know, see, the seals ain't been opened. But if you ever looked in the cup or tasted it, then you can identify what it is. But just by looking at the cup, you can only, oh, and right now it could be Gatorade in this here. You know, but you could say, I believe water in it. It's still a mystery. But once you taste it, it's no longer a mystery. It's part of you. And when you take the word and eat the book, it's no more a mystery. It becomes part of you. And he says, here, let me finish this out. And everything he said in the word, the third pool, in the third pool with the opening of the word, the mystery revealed, no matter, no more. There's no more. There is no more higher order to reveal the word than a prophet. So we got to come to that point. That's why today, you say, why do we need a prophet? Because there's no other order to reveal the word. There is no higher order because the word comes to the prophet. Hallelujah. In other words, so if God had another plan, he needed to disqualify Amos 3 and 7. But like Amos 3 and 7 says, surely the Lord would do nothing. I mean, I don't understand what nothing means. You know, I believe we ain't got to pass the word nothing. How surely the Lord would do nothing except he reveal his secrets to his servant, the prophet, and the mystery is a secret. So now he's telling his ear, he said, there's no other higher order to reveal the word than the prophet. And the only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the word. And remember, the third pool was the opening of the seventh seal to reveal the hidden truth that has been sealed up in the word. Do you see it? So he goes there, he tell it. He let us understand. He didn't come with another Bible. He didn't come with another message. He comes to reveal the messages that have been left all through the dark ages. Luther, you say, brother, why you say that? I want you to notice here. Luther was a man of God. He had his revival. But been saying the message is just a sign. He said, and he began to talk about this lady. He said, now this Laodicea church, the message will finish of the Laodicea, the seven angels will finish all the mystery. Why do we need another angel back if he finished all the mystery? Why do we need another preacher to raise up? Say, I'm the man. That's the problem here. It's the seven. Hallelujah. Seven is the completion. Hallelujah. In other words, so here he is, he said, the seven angel. We got a lot of eighth angels done come now. I ain't got no vindication. Only vindication he got is, God, I saw a pillar of fire. So what? Yeah, big deal. That's right, bro. Big deal. I saw something too. I saw a lot of things. But the point of it is, was it vindicated? Hey, he wasn't vindicated. And he said, then he goes here on him, because wait up, what it is, it been people done got out of bounds with the scripture and the message. He says here, and he says here, he said, go to the says here, and let me find my place, excuse me, sorry. And the seven angels we finished all the mysteries has been lost in the battle before the truth. He goes into Luther. He said, Luther raised up and did not have all the truth. That would, if you say, well, I'm going to just stay with what Luther had. That's good enough for me. Hallelujah. I'm a Lutheran, and I'm staying with what Luther had because I like what he believed in. And I'm not going to go no further. Hallelujah. I can make it with Luther had. Well, I want to tell you what, to try to follow Luther's message today would give you the legal right to drink a Budweiser and smoke a cigarette and be justified in doing it. And you could have made it under the light that he had. But when Wesley come on the scene, the light was passing from the stalk on up into the castle. Say that word. So you know what, Luther had the life there. But remember, the seed had to grow. You had the corner. We could not just stay in the ground and bring a revival. It had to bring forth another seed. So then it goes here and it goes there. We begin to look at it. So, you know, like I said, you could have had a revival under Luther. Hey, it was truth right there. But remember, he said it was the life. Man, that little stalk, I ain't got them all in my head. Man, a little stalk come up there. That was life. But remember, that life just didn't stay into the stalk. It passed on into the tassel. I might have it out of order, but you know, you get my point. It might have passed on into the tassel with John Wesley come up. That was still true. Just sanctification. Clean it up. Sweep around your own front door before you sweep around mine. Make sure your house clean before you try to clean mine. Hallelujah. Devil ain't coming. When the unclean spirit goes out of a house, hallelujah, what do? He come back if it's not clean, if the house is clean. And if everything is in order. But if you don't put something in, that demon come right back. So when we clean up the house, we just can't stop right there. We got to go a little further than that. Then it goes here. It moves from the tassel maybe into the shuck, to the Pentecost stage, the restoration of gifts. Hallelujah, the power of God fell. Everybody was anointed. Even the women started preaching. Yeah, they all start preaching then. You know, everybody got the hallelujah. And it was the outpouring of the Spirit. But the point of it was, it was a restoration of gifts. And everybody started speaking in tongues and tongues. And they adopted the revelation that the speaking in tongues is initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. That is not correct. In other words, the women preaching. I told them, they didn't stop preaching today. They still preaching. They're just preaching on Facebook. But here we are. I want to correct the pastor. I just get on Facebook and let him know how I feel. But in other words, they're still doing it. But here we are. So then it, but you remember here, then it moved from the shuck, which looked just like the seed, but it was not the seed. It was only a carrier. Pentecost was only a carrier for the word to come back just written to stay. But when it goes back to the seed, what do? it lays in the presence of the Son for adoption. Hallelujah. What are we doing now? We done come through all the revival and the prophet come back with the spoken word in the original seed to bring us back to adoption time. Oh, hallelujah. It's the same Holy Ghost, brother. Amen. So we begin to look at these things here. We're looking at these things here. And then when we're talking about releasing, and then release here, and God is releasing His truth so we can all be restored back to the Word, because we realize, what did He leave? He said, because it is not because people don't, you know, believe in truth. The problem is not believing it. The problem is, He says, with all deceitfulness and unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. Judas believed in truth. You say, how you know that? That brother Ray said, church, look what he said. I have noticed those names that was in the book of life were part of the religious order of that day that was centered around the truth. And God, and worshiping Him. And though they did not worship according to truth, the word. In other words, being worshiped, there's a law. Here, in other words, people think because they get an understanding, they got ready to make a rapture. An understanding to show you got the ability to gain knowledge and read. But that understanding got to become a life. What's up here got to drop 18 inches. He's like Judas. He did not go all the way. Why people don't want to go all the way? Everybody want to play London Bridges. Miss Mary Mack. Hallelujah, you know, they just don't want to go all the way. Hallelujah, well, I believe I can, you know, I used to hear a song when I was in denomination. That's all right. Long as I got, they say, that's all right. As long as I got my feet in the kingdom, Lord, that's all right. I said, I don't want my feet in the kingdom because I can slip. Lord, make sure I get my whole body in. Hallelujah. I don't want my feet in the kingdom. I want my body in the kingdom. If I got my body in the kingdom, it's all right. Because if I ever step behind the veil, I am sealed in and the world is sealed out. But a feet in the kingdom ain't good enough for me. Hallelujah. That was long. Too many people put their feet in the kingdom and their body didn't go all the way. He says Judas did not go all the way. Watch here. Judas was chosen of God. He was instructed in truth. He shared the knowledge of the mysteries. That will get the people. What got people mixed up today? When it become the knowledge of the mystery, what do it produce? Pride. It become about you and not about God. I got a deep revelation. You need to hear my revelation. Brother Jerry don't know what I got. Hallelujah. That is not the Holy Ghost. That's a man that thinks he's running God's business. Hallelujah. God don't need a man to run his business. He need a man to get out of the way so God can use his own business. Knowledge, we got a lot of that around the message. You know, you go there today and everybody want to be taught the message. I said, Lord, let me become the message. He says the seventh thunder is a live voice, not a written voice. How is it becoming? The seventh thunder got skin on it. How did it become God in you, the hope of glory? How did it? He said the knowledge of the mystery. He had a power. He had a ministry of power granted unto him. He healed the sick and cast out devils in Jesus' name. And then people say, "Oh Lord, I got it because I'm casting out devils and doing all that." That don't mean that you got it. That means that you know how to use the word of God. And if I could get you to believe the word of God, I could be the biggest drunk in the world. I could run around and do all the things. I could live like a devil. If I could get you to believe in the Jesus heal you, and you say, I accept my healing. I'm not the one to heal you. The word heal you because you had faith to say, I believe it. Denomination television preaching, they got people all winding up on there. Hey, you accept it. You believe that Jesus healed you right now. Touch the television. Touch the television, you heal. And people do it because they got faith in the word of God and they do it. and they get healed and they say, whoa, that man healed me. That man didn't heal you. God is the only healer. Hallelujah, God is the only healer. And he says, but when the showdown came, he sold out. Something got his attention. The spirit of the rich young ruler was on him. He didn't want the truth. Hallelujah, the spirit of the rich young ruler was on him. Hallelujah, when he come out to go all the way with God to the pinna, to the upper room, he sold out. He sold out for gold and political power. He did not go all the way to Pentecost to receive the spirit of God. He was void of the spirit. And he did all this, and he was void of the spirit. He was void of the spirit. In other words, if he was void of the spirit, it's literally saying he was void of the truth. Because Jesus said, my spirit is spirit and truth. So there was, he didn't have no truth in him. In other words, he accepted the healing of it. He glorified in the mysteries of it. But that's right, brother. But when it come down to the true life of Christ, he didn't want to do that. Because he's gonna have to give up his social standing with those prayer Pharisees and all that. But it don't matter. It don't care what you have to give up. If you ain't willing to give it up, pick up the cross and deny yourself. You're not worthy of God. And then he says, here, let me finish this out here. And he says, so that's so. Then he said he was void of the spirit. No mistake about it. It's a person that is truly, truly baptized with the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ. We'll receive the fullness of the spirit. We'll be in the word all the way. That is the evidence of being baptized with the word, with the Holy Ghost. Judas failed. Multitudes failed right there. And when they failed to go on in the word, their name was taken off the book of life. We looking at these things. You said, Brother Jewel, this is a simple, but yet still is, we need it. Because God ain't going to honor if we don't accept truth. God don't honor and accept we are not knowing about truth. But why you said, Brother Jewel, why is it so necessary for us to receive truth? Because I want to tell you the reason we got to have it. You say, why do we need truth, brother? You know what? What is the big thing about truth that we got to have that's so important? I want to let you know, understand one thing. Without truth, you can't be clean. You can't be sanctified. Turn to St. John 6, 17. St. John 17, this is why we got to have it. St. John 17. You know, Brother Ben said the St. John book actually had to be under the eagle anointing. Everything else was man, the ox, the lion, and the man. But when it comes to St. John, it moved into eagle. Why? Because this is the book that Satan will be exposed in. Why do we need truth? St. John 17, verse 17. It says this. Sanctify what? Through thy what? Thy word is what? How will you get sanctified? Through truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Or Paul goes back and he picks it up with the same thing. He said, we are kept clean by the washing of the water by the word. This is right here where you come to get clean. Eh? When truth is preached, it cleans you up. Hallelujah. You know, it might hurt your feeling, but it'll clean you up. Hallelujah. In other words, you know, when a man preaches a work all day and gets sweaty and he can get sour. His babe don't want him hugging on her. He come in the house and she gonna say, honey, you're gonna have to hit the tub. I mean, it ain't that she don't love him. It ain't no love. Somebody come to church, they took a bath for about 6 weeks. Everybody gonna have a problem. They might not say nothing, but they gonna be whispering. Did you? Whew. I done been there and done that before. I done been in some countries, but it was rough. And I'm trying to meditate and not think about it. Hope the wind don't blow across my nose no more. Whatever God sees. That's what God sees when we don't get cleaned up with the word. We come into his house with all kind of filth in our and sweat of the world. It's a stink in his nostrils. But when you come to the word of God and you say, Lord, take me to your laundry room. Whatever it takes, cleans me up. So the revelation of truth come to let us know what true sanctification was. It's the receiving the truth for your hour. And then let us accept the word of God. How then the prophet goes here and then he brings the real revelation of sanctification. That was, we could not understand how powerful the blood of Jesus was until we had a prophet. When we had a prophet, he catches a revelation of what sanctification is. And then he comes back and he preaches a message, the breach between the breach and the seals. The church is in the seals. The breach. And then he preached on the breach was the message that he began to tell us what sanctification is. He said, just like that little drop of ink, when it dropped into the bleach, it sends it all the way back to his original, back on the head of Satan. And he said, you never done it in the first place. It showed him what blood of Jesus Christ can do. But I don't care how low you are, the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away all sin. You know, we don't want to accept that. We want to try to do it ourselves. And I tell you, you know, we preach. I see it so many times that I say, Brother Jewel, then what was the coming of the seventh seal? What was this message all about? What is the seventh seal? What did it do? Why did we have to have it? What Revelation 10:1 got to do with this? You ever thought about that? What is the evidence that Christ is here? All we got is people pull out a cloud. They say, you believe that? I remember the first time I took to the message, I didn't know. Somebody said, you see that? You better believe it, you're going to hell. I didn't understand what it was. All I see is a cloud. If you don't understand the vindication of the cloud, why did it come? You won't understand that. All you're going to have is a cloud. But the point of it is, once the revelation come and made known what the cloud was and what the purpose was, then we can understand why it had to be here. Okay, Revelation 10:1 said, the Lord himself, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud. In other words, and then we see that. What was it doing? What was the reason for it to come? What is the evidence that the cloud is here? How will we have some spiritual evidence that is here? I'm going to answer that question. What purpose is to look up and see a cloud with no evidence? You see them every day. Clouds out there, maybe today. What evidence? Not just looking up and see a cloud, but what is the evidence that it was supernatural? And then when it come, what would it do? Let us find the evidence for it. Saint John 16. And we'll read verse 13. St. John 16, verse 13, let us see. This is how we know Revelation 10:1 is fulfilled. Hallelujah. He says, Revelation 16, verse 13. He said, howbeit when he, the spirit of what? It done what? Not coming, done come. Hallelujah. Something have already, if he's coming, he's not here. But if he's come, he's already here. Revelation 10:1 is already on earth at the sounding of Revelation 10:7. So he says, now watch the ministry, what was to take place when the head come to the body. He says here, he said, the spirit of truth, when he has come, he will guide you into what? All what? What good is he? Not all emotion. Not all sensation, and we love them things. But he gathers into all truth. Hallelujah. In other words, he began to make the Bible a new Bible. Hallelujah. We don't got the cow in the top of the tree. You see a cow in the top of the tree, you've been smoking something. But you can say, you walk outside, you say, oh, there's a cow in the top of the tree. I'm going to say, get him some help. Because cows don't eat in the top of the tree. In other words, so he says here, he says, to guide you into all truth, for he shall speak, speak not of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will do what? Show you things to what? What did this messenger do? Not only brought us the truth, but told us, sealed out the message, that he can look into this day where we ain't and say the last sign will be the sign of sodomy. Show me where he missed today. Show me where he missed sodomy, eh? The last sign that he will have at the spiritual revealed these mysteries would be the manifestation of the seed of sodomy. It's everywhere. I just come out of California. What's good about California? Nothing. It's just the state itself. But the point of it is, it's a pretty state. I mean, it's a pretty state. Go, God created it and made it beautiful. But the point of it is, but the sin level that's in California, when Brother Brandon was in JCPenney and saw coming up the escalator, these women paint all over their faces and everything, speaking Spanish, French, whatever they were. Brother Brandon said, I am back in hell again. You remember him? Then he said they sold in prison. So now what he saw, what Brother Brandon saw back then, was so elementary, it was not to this day that we can say that hell has pushed and pressed his way into this dimension. Because what he saw back then with paint all over his face, I left California and I saw a little sissy guy with green hair, paint all over them too. What Brother Brandon saw was women's. What we saw, I don't know what you call them. There's not a name for it. I said, God had 10 commandments. God had 10 commandments. Thou should not steal. Thou should not commit adultery. Thou should not, you know, bear false witness. You know that. But there's one commandment. Commandment was spoke of a right act done in the wrong. Thou should not lie. What is the opposite from a lie? It's the truth. Thou should not steal. That's to be honest. So you see what I'm saying? Although it was acts of truth that some here, thou should not cover, live clean. Thou should not bear false witnesses. Don't, you know, all these things was something that were real. But you will find no commandment. Say, thou should not be a homosexual. It's not even acceptable. It's not in God. It's completely an abomination. And if that spirit don't get off of you, go straight to hell. It's not accepted at all by God. Outside the repentant spirit, with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he would not accept it. He said, homosexuals, all that stuff going to the lake of fire, they don't even pass go. Straight to hell. See what I'm saying, people? That's why we, this truth come to let us see where we were. Get ready to start parachuting. But I want to hit the point. Why do we have so much problem with obeying truth? You know, you hear truth sometimes. You know, sometimes we do things. We know we shouldn't do it. We know we get mad at somebody. We shouldn't be doing that, but we do it anyway. I got mad a few weeks or two ago. Somebody just cut me off in a car. Oh, yeah. I had my thoughts, too. I ain't going to tell you what I thought, but I had mine. Boy, you just don't know. I mean, you know how it is. We wonder sometimes. We get trapped up in a human emotion. And sometimes things happen that, you said, Brother Jewel, I ain't never, you know, I've been, a lot of people look at, I told them the other day, I said, you know, everybody in this, in the world today, everybody won't pay perfect mate, perfect wife, perfect husband. You know, everybody want perfect. You know what I'm saying, Brother? Perfect. So perfect that there's no flaw. If I could just find that perfect woman with no flaw. I told him the other day, I preached, I said, you want a perfect woman, no flaw. I said, you try to find one that ain't got a tongue. So So when you get ready to go hunting, she can't say nothing. I think that's... But we all human. And that's what the point we got to deal with. And the reason we have a problem with truth, let me just nail this down real quick. Then I'll close with this one. Why we have a problem with truth? Because Psalm 51 says, I behold, I was shaped in iniquity. And in sin did, you know, my mother conceive me. In other words, I come this way. In other words, what he's trying to say, my flesh is an attribute of a lie. You know, your flesh is the one you got to deal with. You know, half of the time, you know, your flesh always telling you something that ain't right, no way. In other words, Reverend, I'd rather be with a drunk than a liar. Every morning we look in the mirror, we're looking at a liar. You just think about it. You go to sometimes you sitting there and the thing just started out of the blue. You don't feel like going to church today. If you listen to it, it'll talk you out of it. Man, you might well take the day off. You've been going every day for the last, you ain't missed the church service and so how many months and all you. In other words, this thing right here is the problem. This is what we got to struggle with. This is why we got to stay with the word, because the word is the only thing that can kill the nature or break it subject to the word. Right now, this is, you say, Brother Jewel, now I want you to notice here, why are we looking at him? Because the Bible said, our righteousness, Isaiah said, is as a filthy rag. Filthy rag. A filthy rag. You know, people don't just go around picking up filthy rags. If I'm going to pick up something, certainly it ain't going to be no filthy rag. You walk down the road and you see a filthy rag, you just don't reach down and say, I need that rag. It just don't happen. It's something that's tempting. I can take this rag right now and go to hand it to him. You know what he's going to be thinking? This is nasty. That is the way people live. They're going to say he'll be in his mind. He might not say that to his wife. I hand him that rag and I'd have done all this. He's going to say, this is nasty. And what he'll probably do when I ain't looking, he'll put it down, he'll go. I do the same thing, bro. Because it's a filthy rag. And when it becomes filthy, we don't want nothing to do with it. And every day we got to deal with something. That's a filthy rag in God's eyesight. So we begin to look at this thing right here. This is what I'm trying to say, people. If you think you're going to make yourself holy enough without the word, wrong. Had it wrong. This thing right here will never be holy enough without the word to lead it. Amen. Until it changed in a moment of a twinkle of an eye, we got to deal with it. Amen. How you feel? You say, Brother Jewel, say, hallelujah. I feel like I got my perfect body. You doing your bald headed? You bald-headed, you got your perfect body. When my Bible said, my perfect body, not one hair on my head shall perish. That means I'm going to have a perfect afro when I get back. We want to look at this thing here, the body, the flesh. And the reason I'm doing this because if we don't understand, we got to come to the conclusion and the understanding that we all, I ain't got no sin. If you say you don't have no sin, then you got to call God a lie. You say you don't have no sin, then you got to call God a lie. Because we all have sin. It came short of the king. You were born that way, but you don't have to stay that way. Hallelujah. So, you know, we want to look here at this flesh right here. And that's why Paul used this terminology in Romans 7. Romans 7, I'm going to kind of, this is when I'm going to start winding down there. Romans said the 7th chapter. This is my main point, so I thought I better hit this before I go. Because in the message here, it have been a spirit to get on people feel like, man, I ain't done what he done. I was raised in the message. I didn't drink, I didn't smoke and all that. But the point of it was, you ain't got nothing over on me and I ain't got nothing over you. Because we both were born the same way. We both had to go to Calvary. Hallelujah. No matter how good you is, no matter how clean you kept yourself, you still got to go to Calvary. Because you're still a filthy rag without it. with him. Romans 7. Let me just read a few verses from here, and then we can kind of bring this away. I bring hit my main point. Then we pass you. Paul says here, Romans 7, verse 18. For I know, verse 18, I know that is in my what? Flesh dwelleth what? No good. We trust it. We trust something. There's no good thing that dwelleth. If I could ever get you to quit looking at your flesh and get you looking to Christ, we can all make it. Hallelujah, we can all make it. He said, that is in me dwelleth no good thing. For to will in his presence with me, but how to find out, but how to perform that which is good, I find him not. For the good that I would do, I do not. And the evil which I would not, that I do. So he began to come to the conclusion. It come to the conclusion, how am I going to be saved in this flesh? When it, you say, well, brother, I had an evil thought. What you think? I think you're still alive. Because if you didn't have something flying over your head, you'd be something wrong. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head. You know, it's like this, people. If somebody do something wrong to you in this church, I don't care how holy you are, when you go home, you're going to have a thought about it. You're going to be thinking, I can't believe that devil didn't shake my hand. You know, next time. That flesh is going to be talking to you. And that flesh is going to be telling you all the things that they did to you that's wrong. But that flesh will never tell you the multitude perfect love covers a multitude of sin. Your flesh is going to never tell you to drop the charges. It only do that if the Holy Ghost is in charge. How do you think Stevenson stood there and said, Father, lay not this charge to them? Because Stevenson would have not dropped the charges, Paul would have went to hell for killing the Son of God. Because Paul was at his mercy. Catch not my anointing. Do my prophet no harm. It's better for a millstone to be tied around your neck. Do you realize Paul was disqualified? But Stephen said, Father, lay not this charge to them. Out of that whole group, Paul the only one got saved. The flesh. Paul had the charges was dropped because of the love of truth that was in him. The love of truth is where the power lays. In other words, he had power to release the point of forgiveness. So then we go on here and we look at him. And we look at the flesh deal we dealing with. And I want to deal with what? Only what going to fix it. You know, we look at Abraham's life. Let's just look at Abraham. Let's look at Abraham. Oh, Abraham, he was the father of faith. He walked so perfect. Did he? Was that perfect when you tell a man, that's my sister? Boy, you probably had a big black eye. I can see that right now. That's my sister. What you mean I'm your sister? A complete lie to save his own name, to save his own flesh. He was willing to let go of his sister so that she could become a wife to another, to an unjust paganist king, just to save his own flesh. Because this thing right here didn't want to submit. It didn't want to die. He was in the promise here. Abraham, stay in the land. Famine come. I'm going down there. When he got out of the will of God. Trying to save this. And we all trying to save it. We all want to make it look good before people, pure before the church. Oh, he's a good man. But really, are you a good man? Only good thing that we got in us is the Holy Ghost. The only good thing that's in us is the Holy Ghost. And what make Abraham, and when God came to Abraham and gave him the promise, how did Abraham went to hallelujah? He was laughing. This got to be a joke. Here I am. We have Bible says he laughed. But he heard Sharon laugh and got rebuked. Was he perfect? No, when you look at it here, Abraham had so many faults. But then, so God would have been looking at Abraham, he wouldn't have been made. So when God come down in Genesis 17, it was not going to be Abraham that was doing it. I will. Read that chapter, see how many times God said, I will. In other words, I am making an unconditioned covenant. You're going to be saved if you like it or not. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm making a covenant. You want to go all the way with God. I don't care what you think about it. I don't care what your flesh said about it. You're going to make it. Hallelujah, boy. Hallelujah. You said, Brother Jewel. You said, why did that brother, hey, that brother was so low, he should have went to hell. That sister was so low, he should have went to hell. God made a covenant with Abraham's seed. Hallelujah. And that's why they're not going to hell. God made a covenant. And I don't care how they go. It might take a long time. They will come back. Hallelujah. And this is going to answer this unconditioned covenant that God made. One more scripture before we close. And that unconditional covenant that God made. It was made in Romans 4. Paul expressed it. I want you to go to the fourth chapter of Romans. And this is why we need him. This is why we need him to say, I will. And we respond, thy will be done. I will. And we say, thy will be done. Because realize, I am dependent on him. I realize here, this thing done failed me. Oh yes, I done got mad. I done had tempers and all these other things. And I'll be a lying devil to say that, you know, when a man fall, don't, you know, a lot that we think when a man fall, yeah, you have to go out and drink. That ain't it. Sometimes through the journey, we just get discouraged. And you need somebody to hold your hand. Sometimes man can't give you the comfort to give you the strength to go on. You need the master to come down. Hallelujah, John was there. He was laying on the ground after he saw, hallelujah, as dead. And the angel touched him and strengthened him. Sometimes you need a touch. And man can't touch you the way that God can. Hallelujah, sometimes you feel like, Lord, I can't even move no more. I'm at the end. And all of a sudden, you feel God. Hallelujah, when you stand back up, God said, that's my son. Hallelujah, the old saying, you can't keep a good man down. No, you can't keep a man that washed under the blood down. Hallelujah, God put something in him that'll raise every time. But let me just ask this unconditional covenant we want to look real quick. If Paul were writing something, Abraham did all this. Paul come back with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, catches the mind of God, and begin to write about Abraham's life. And let's just see what the vision saw. I'm going to go with the 19th verse. That'll probably be best to start right there. The 19th verse of Romans the 4th chapter. He says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. We know Abraham laughed because it just didn't make sense to Abraham. Hallelujah. But when Paul saw it, he didn't see Abraham flesh. He seen what Christ said, I will. Hallelujah. So in his will, all this other stuff that was against Abraham had nothing to do with what God willed him. And he said, and he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Why was he down there where that king was? About to lose his wife. But the Bible, when Paul saw it, he staggered not. Hallelujah. He didn't bring out all his flaws. God ain't looking at all your flaws. God looking at the truth that's in you. God is looking at what he put in you. How do we look at what? Oh, boy, I don't see if I'm going to be good enough. How long did it take you to figure that out? How long did it take you to figure out I'm not going to be good enough? No, I'm not good enough, but he is. How did it do? I'm not looking at how good I am. I'm looking at how good that he is. And if I could get him on his side. Paul says, I stagger not. He says, I stagger not at, he stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he was able to perform. Where did this come? What? Stop. I'm just using these scripts. I'm closing with these. When did he get fully persuaded? After Sarah done had this baby. After Sarah done had this baby. Hallelujah. And he done seen God turn him back in here. He was fully persuaded because when he got up on the mountain, me and the lad will return. Hallelujah. That means he had come to the point. Hallelujah. If God could give me a baby and I know I'm dead, he could raise this boy back up. I am persuaded that he's going to be a resurrection. Stay here until I return. If God can change your own nature, take you from the pest hell and the death and the deadness of life. How do when you're down in the graveyard of sin and drug and hatred and denomination, if God can bring a resurrection to that, I am fully persuaded. And he says here, fully persuaded that what he had promised, he is able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Not, it was not written for his sake only, but he said that it was imputed to him, but also, but for us also, to whom it was, shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up, oh, hallelujah, simple. Believe that he raised up our Lord Jesus from the dead, who have delivered, who was delivered for our of offense and was raised again for our justification. Musicians, come this morning. What we trying to do with this thing? What am I trying to do to help God? What do I need to do to help God? If you could help God, what can you do to help God? The only thing I can tell you to do is to teach me to surrender, Lord. Because you ain't got nothing in your human effort can help God. You can't die for him. He had to take our place. But God, you can give me the spirit to surrender to your word. Sister Brenda Lewis wrote a song, the more I can surrender, the lighter my load. The more I surrender, the more he take control. That's what we want God to do for our lives. Help me, Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, sometimes people, we done been out of been weak. I laid in the bed several years ago and I had contracted a disease, got in my body called a Lyme disease. I got bit by tick hunting, and you know how they go. And I was laying in the bed and my body was going through all kind of combustions. And the devil was breathing over my body, says, this is it, son. You won't pull out of this time. And I laid in that bed. I said, God, you know I ain't got no money to go to the doctor. I said, God, I said, I'm just at your will. I said, if you're through with me, Lord, I'm not trying to dart death. But God, if there's something there for me to do, Lord, I trust that you heal me or take me. And all of a sudden, about a week or so later, that thing just broke. I told people that testimony, they said, man, that disease don't leave. I don't care what they say it don't do. I don't care what science said. I'm going to tell what God done. Hallelujah. The point of it is, because it was not my will that made it happen. It was by his will. How did Abraham see? How did by his stripes? You got a right to that promise. You said, brother, you know, you said a lot of times we get to thinking here, well, they said this, that's secondhand. And I don't never tell nobody to get off their medicine. I said, take your medicine until God give you a revelation, do that. When God reveals something to you, it ain't nobody can stop it. Hallelujah. Don't just go out there because I tell you, throw it away, next day, boom. No, I'm not going to do that. But if God tell you something by revelation, it ain't no devil in hell can stop it from happening. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm trying to say, people, is teach me, God, to wait on you. Hallelujah. Who was the song leader in a few minutes? I feel. Oh, that brother, praise God. Sing that song, brother, they that wait upon the Lord. You know that one? Sing that one, then we're going to get ready to. I always give opportunity for prayer. I've been known as a preacher that pray for the sick. They say, brother, you still Pentecostal. I got a note from a preacher. A preacher sucked me on a tape and blasted me for praying for his church. Well, I said, it's easy for me to pray for somebody and they get healed. Or you can go to the doctor and pay $100-something just to find out what it is. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand people. Why you want to go to a doctor when God made this? You might have faith to be lifted up in a realm and God can right then heal you. Hallelujah. In other words, and it's over. I guess the last time I was here, I was praying for a couple of people to have babies. Yeah, I pray for somebody to have a baby. You. Oh, pray. I had some babies. I believe he even asked you. I said, man, I didn't know that. My wife said, I think he want a baby. I said, oh, boy. But I just want to say this. I just left the church a couple weeks ago. The brother Mark, brother Mike Casco, that was the brother I was telling that same testimony when I was there. He was, him and wife had been married for 15 years, and they couldn't have that kid and everything. And they had gave completely, not even considering this. They completely said, it ain't happening. I said, brother, I wouldn't do that. Let's just pray and see what God will do. In other words, because in the human effort, by everything medically it was, it's not going to happen. That's what it was. I said, well, let's just see what God say about it. Now, I wouldn't have the ability to do it because I'm a man. But what God will is, that's what makes the difference. I said, well, did we lay hands on him? We just had a simple prayer. I just said, Lord, open her womb. And open his, strengthen his seed so his wife can have this child. And about 6 weeks later, I get a call. She was pregnant. Just 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, I just now went and dedicated the baby. They had the little girl. God is still a good God. You said, Brother Jude, that's a little thing, but what the big things God can do is somebody just have faith to believe God. Hallelujah. Somebody just have faith to believe God. All things. We got to get out of our minds some things, all things are possible to them that believe. As he sang that song, I give opportunity for prayer. Then, if not, I'm going to, I guess, Brother Jerry come back up. And maybe he can let Brother Jerry know. But he'll sing that song if anyone need got a need. It's a lot of sicknesses out here, people. The devil got these diseases. It's almost like a germ warfare going on. But there's a place of refuge. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You said, brother, what did he say? Lay hands on the sick and they shall. He said, brother, do you believe that with all my heart? Hallelujah. God, if God can't do it, we need to get rid of this Bible. I don't need to read. If I want to read a fiction book, I go get a Superman book, a Batman book. But I'm talking about a real living God. Hallelujah. Something they not know that's real. And have been proven by the test. That God is real. Hallelujah. He sang that song. If anybody need, got a need, we'll pray this morning. We'll go.
Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. I'm not going to make you just scared. How could I make you feel like you ain't none?
Oh, teach me, Lord.
I don't want you to say, Lord God, I'm your child. Hallelujah.
By the power of the Holy Spirit. Say that you're telling her a lie. She's a daughter of Abraham, and you're not going to get her to surrender, and you're not going to get her to give up. She's going to love God that much more in the name of Jesus Christ.
Answer my plea.
Hallelujah.
Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you.
Father God, you, if you could take dry bones and the hip bone could be connected to the backbone and the backbone to the neck bone and all these bones put in play, how did the raise up army for God? How much more can you do a son of God that got the Holy Ghost? Father God, I know the doctor got a condition in his body, Lord. But God, you're the one that created this body. Father God, whatever pain it is, whatever devil it is, Lord, keep that devil off his property, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, let a miracle take place in his body. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah.
Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame.
Hallelujah.
Help me.
This young man say, every time he tried to go to church, the devil put this sickness. He's going to get broke out of this comeback. Hallelujah. The devil keep putting these things on his board. But he tired of putting the devil, saying, I got this problem. I got sinning. Hallelujah. He want to say, by his stripes. Hallelujah. By his stripes. The devil, you might put it on my porch, but I'm not going to say I got sinus. I'm not going to say I got knee problems. I'm going to say I'm healed. Hallelujah. I'm going to confess it to my body, oh man. In the name of Jesus Christ.
You want me to be.
Let it wait upon the Lord.
Then
wait. Let us say, church.
From the Lord shall renew.
Oh, hallelujah.
They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk
and not
be
weary. Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, according to his confession, he believed, God, that that demon is trying to come back in his body, that is not coming back. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, let him take that kind of faith and wait on God by giving God praise, by giving God thanks that is already done in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, please.
This rain, this shall mount up with wings and
church. Hallelujah. The brother says, I have had diabetes for over 50 years. I have had. I mean, now he's getting ready to let go of it. Hallelujah. Oh. 75 years old. It pretty soon it's going to let go anyway. He don't believe in God. Hallelujah. He telling the devil, you devil. Hallelujah. It ain't going to hold me down. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, in the Holy Ghost, let this body come serve you, Lord. You got a young man that's trying to come out of this body, Lord. Father, let the Holy Ghost use him, Lord. Father God, let that demon leave his body, Father. Keep taking your medicine, but let the doctor testify, I have seen the miracle in this body. In the name of Jesus Christ, will you believe God can do that for you? Accept the word of God. Hallelujah. Let it wait upon the Lord.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew this rain. This shall mount up.
Hallelujah, with wings
as an eagle.
Oh, hallelujah, yes, Lord.
This shall run and not be weary.
This shall what?
This shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to
pray.
Oh, they shall wait upon the Lord. Shall renew. Shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me,
mighty river.
trust in me. Oh, how great is our God. Oh, how great is his word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. Put your trust in me. Oh, how great is our God. How great is his word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard.
Let's be dismissed this time. We'll have Brother Gene to dismiss us.